Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We begin the broadcast today with the words of Isaiah, who said, "Present your case, set forth your arguments, says Jacob's king. Bring in your idols to tell us what is going to happen. Tell us what the former things were, so that we may consider them and know their final outcome. Or declare to us the things to come. Tell us what the future holds, so that we may know that you are God's." And the reason I bring up these words by the prophet Isaiah is there are all kinds of prophecy pundits today in the Christian church who are telling us that they know what the future holds. In fact, some go as far as to say that they know precisely when the end of the world will come or when our Lord will return. It used to be May 14, 1948. That was the pivotal date for date setters. The return of the Jews to Palestine, of course, provided the basis for determining the exact timing of the return of Christ and the end of the world. As Hal Lindsey explained in the late great Planet Earth, when the Jewish people become a nation again in 1948, the fig tree put forth its leaves. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place." A generation in the Bible is 40 years. Therefore, Christ's secret return was projected to take place in 1981 and his second coming 7 years later in 1988. Now, if Lindsey was reading the scripture rightly, our Lord had to be mistaken respecting his own return. Of course, people have short memories. So it wasn't all that long until June 10, 1967, replaced May 14, 1948, as the quintessential day in end time speculations. And this time, the math was downright magical, because you'd add 40 to 1967, you subtract 7, and 2000 emerged as the new date, pretending the coming of Jesus and, of course, the carnage of the Jews. However, once again, the stars failed to align. But prophetic superstar Jack Van Impe was an innovator, and he was able to hold false prophecy charges at bay by recalibrating a generation at 50 years. In fact, 51.2 years to be exact. Said Van Impe, "If you divide 77 generations into 4,000 years from Adam to Christ, that comes out to 51.2. And if you add the extra 6 months, because the Six-Day War took place in June, you're almost at 52 years. He goes on to say, add 52 to 1967, subtract 7 years from that for the tribulation, and we're talking about 2012. And then Van Impe found confirmation in the Mayan calendar. One more in a long litany of failed prophecies. Scripture is not intended to tell us when Christ will return, but that he will return. And when he does, the eternal state will finally become reality. Christ will fully resolve the problem of sin and Satan. He will separate and judge the wheat from the tares. He will resurrect the dead. He will recreate the universe without the stain of disease and destruction, decay and death. The point, quite simply, is this. Biblical prophecy is not designed to help us pin the tail on the Antichrist or to pin down a future tribulation. Prophetic stars in the constellation of biblical prophecy are powerful proofs that God has spoken, that the Bible is divine rather than merely human in origin. In the words of God Himself, "I told you these things long ago before they happened. I announced them to you so that you could not say, 'My idols did them. My wooden image, my metal god ordained them.'" Or in the words of Jesus Christ Himself, "I have told you now before it happens so that when it does happen, you will believe." Counterfeit prophecy stars, like Jack Van Impe, have one thing in common. They are consistently wrong. In a lumen contrast, genuine prophecy is infallibly correct. And unlike the pretenders, biblical prophecy cannot be pawned off to good luck or to good guessing or even to deliberate deceit. Neither Jack Van Impe, Hal Lindsey, or any of the other prophecy pundits that become so popular in the church today will find out again, over and over again, that they really don't know how to read the Bible for all it's worth, and that's the systemic problem. It's not just the false prophecy, but the greater problem of not being able to interpret rightly the Word of God. A lot of you hanging on, we'll go right to the phone lines. First up today is Richard. He's listening in Aurora, Colorado, listening on the web. Hi, Richard.
Hello.
Hi.
I've got a question for you. How do you get around lust?
Well, the answer to that question is that a lot of people think you get around the problem of lust with a magic bullet. And that simply is not true. In fact, the tragedy today is that multitudes are saying that righteousness can be achieved through deliverance rather than through discipleship. And therefore, Christians who struggle with lust are said to be possessed by the demon of lust, and deliverance is said to be the key to moral and psychological redemption. Again, that simply is false. If you want to deal with these issues in your life, you have to embrace the very spiritual disciplines that Jesus Christ modeled during His earthly sojourn. In other words, we have to become Christ-like. And spiritual disciplines are, in fact, spiritual exercises. Just as the physical disciplines of weightlifting and running promote strength and stamina, so the spiritual disciplines promote righteousness. I like to quote Tom Landry. He was one of my favorite NFL football coaches. He coached for the Dallas Cowboys, and he used to say the job of a good football coach is to make men do what they don't want to do in order they can achieve what they've always wanted to achieve. And Christians are called to do the same, to do what they would naturally do, in other words, pursue spiritual discipline, so that they could be what they've always wanted to be, Christ-like. The problem, therefore, for most contemporary Christians is that a vast majority of them have never made the transition from declaration to discipleship. I explain all of this in my book, The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. That includes the world, the flesh, and the devil. The Covering can be found on the web at equip.org. Back to the phone lines. Talk to David in Louisville, Kentucky, listening on the web. Hi, David.
Hey, Hank. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
I have a question about Andrew Womack. I read a book of his called Grace, the Power of the Gospel. And I did notice that being off that was out of, you know, kilter, but he made a comment there that there are many people who are against his teaching and attack him, and which made me wonder if he's teaching some false teaching that I just haven't come in contact with yet.
Well, he's a classic Word of Faith teacher. He teaches, for example, that sickness occurs when people allow it in their lives, either through rebellion or ignorance. The reality is that sickness is part of a cursed creation, and therefore we all get sick and eventually we all die. The death rate is one per person. We're all going to make it. So his Word of Faith theology, which is essentially that faith is a force, words are the containers of the force, and through the force of faith, one can create their own reality, is not only flawed, not only unbiblical, but is decidedly dangerous.
Also, there's somebody else that I've read a few books on, wondering if he is in the same vein as Joseph Prince.
Yeah, Joseph Prince, another false teacher who embraces the Word of Faith theology. In fact, I listened to a whole message by Joseph Prince, which was a very painful thing to do. He was talking about communion and how by taking communion over and over again, as many times as you have to, a day, a week, a month, you can create healing in your own body. It was a pathetic twisting of Scripture. And I've often talked about his word of faith fallacies, but when I listened to that sermon, I was horrified by his twisting of Scripture.
So are these just two people that I should just pretty much stay away from their teaching?
No, absolutely. Yes.
Okie dokie.
Well, yeah, and this is not about attacking them. I mean, this is the old thing. They turn this into an attack, and it's not an attack at all. If you have Tylenol that is laced with cyanide on store shelves, and you don't warn people about it, you are doing people a disservice. And what they are doing is communicating spiritual cyanide over the airwaves, megadoses. Very, very dangerous to people. And that's why we warn people about their false teachings. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Please stay tuned for that.
To find out more about the materials mentioned on the show, call a CRI resource consultant toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Our website is also an excellent reference destination to help you. Just go to equip.org and find articles by Hank, books, CDs, and DVDs. Again, that's equip.org. Or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. The Bible Answer Man will continue in just a moment. With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in Prophetic Stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.
Has Jesus Christ returned to earth as a woman? Eastern Lightning, also called the Church of Almighty God, claims a Chinese woman is the reincarnated Christ, Almighty God, and the fulfillment of Jesus' Olivet Discourse. This cult is doctrinally deviant and socially subversive. It masquerades as a persecuted Christian movement while exploiting Western sympathy to spread its destructive dogmas. Don't miss the special issue of the Christian Research Journal exposing the treacherous teachings and practices of Eastern Lightning. To receive your copy, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Once again, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Lee, listening in Mission, British Columbia, Canada. Hi, Lee.
Hey, good afternoon, Hank. I have a very unique question for you. I've been looking into the Jehovah's Witness Bible and looking how they butcher John 1:1. But if I take the same system and go to Daniel 9:26, I think it is. I see a mistranslation in most of the translations available to us, and that's where they capitalize anointed or throw in Messiah. I think that misleads us to have a futuristic response or interpretation of the 70 weeks, right?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And of course, it is futuristic, but not to our time. Daniel's looking down the corridor of time 400 years hence, when Antiochus IV Epiphanes comes on the scene. And that's what consumes him with dread and fear about what the future portends. And it was December 14, 164, 7 years after Antiochus had celebrated the murder of Ananias, and exactly 3 years after he had desecrated the temple fortress and abolished the daily sacrifice and set up an abomination that causes desolation, that the temple was rededicated and that the daily sacrifice was restored. In fact, this is the very thing that Jews celebrate at Hanukkah, freedom for the Jews under Judas Maccabeus. And of course, as prophesied by Daniel, Antiochus, the Antichrist of the Old Testament, was finally dead in terms of the prophetic outworking of this, destroyed not by human power, but by the power of God. And then the text goes on to tell us that the death of the Syrian beast may well have been in view when Daniel was prophesying, blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1,335 days. So yeah, this has to do with something that is in the future, but it's 400 years in the future. It has nothing to do with what's going on in the 21st century.
I totally agree. And also, I've been looking into it. You know how a lot of people will have a start date and they try to fit 490 years in over 550 or 560 years or so. But I don't see Jesus or the apostles seizing upon the 69 weeks in his birth, death, or baptism or ministry.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. I mean, that's such a great point to make. If this really had to do with pretending the exact date that Jesus Christ is going to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey, don't you think that the biblical prophets and apostles would have seized on the fulfillment of this? But they don't.
Yeah, and even the anointed, if I use it in the Old Testament, I see it as either a king or a high priest anointed by an approved prophet.
Yeah, high priest, of course. And again, Jesus, the disciples, the early Christian church, their writers in the early centuries never cited the 70 weeks prophecy as proof that Jesus would arrive at a specific time in history. And of course, as you also allude to in the prologue to your question, there's little agreement among commentators concerning the 70 weeks prophecy. And you read the various versions, including the Revised Standard Version, and they're markedly different from the NIV reading. So this is a very difficult passage of Scripture at any rate. That's why it's so important to read the whole of Daniel in context and recognize what he's shooting at. I think that people even get it wrong in terms of their suggestion with respect to the four kingdoms that are of primary concern to Daniel. Not only so, but Daniel is only alluding to Jesus Christ in the ultimate sense that the mountain that fills the earth, starts with a stone cut out of the mountain, is a picture of a kingdom that will come with the inauguration of Jesus Christ, that inaugurates the kingdom, that will fill the whole earth. And Jesus comes, and that kingdom is inaugurated, and one day will be consummated.
I agree. There's a few tough passages, though, like, because I think it's in Daniel 2 where he says, you'll usher in a kingdom within the succession of kingdoms that will never end. I'm kind of stuck on that, too.
Well, again, I think that's the whole point. I think that Daniel is looking at the kingdoms of this earth, and he is able, through his prophetic prowess, because he is a true spokesman for God, to give a succession of nations, ending with Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, but then looking forward to a kingdom that comes, which is a kingdom that is not established by human hands, but a kingdom that is established by God himself. If you want to get a full understanding of my interpretation of Daniel in this regard, I've written about this in pretty good detail in my book, Has God Spoken? Good talking to you. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Talk to Daniel in Seattle, Washington. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I have one question. I know when I was hearing at the beginning of the broadcast, you mentioned Van Empe about the prophecy, about specifically his date setting.
Yes.
Which I agree is off. But now one thing, a question about, hey, what's his name? Harold Camping also did some date setting as well, and that was false. And the issue, what I'm seeing here is a straw man argument of, therefore, so the Van Impe tries to, you know, he has his date setting, and that's wrong, but then you include dispensationalism, therefore I'll straw man that in, and I'll include that as false as well. But the thing is, the issue is more the date setting, you know, and because I know of different, whether you call them dispensationalists or different variations, where they don't predict the future, they just might see things in the future, whether they'll happen or not. So I'm just wondering why you would include that in there and just say that he's just wrong with the dates.
Well, first of all, let me say that I'm not strawmanning to the extent that I would be. I'd be the first to want to apologize for that. What I'm pointing out is that people early on in the dispensational scheme of things, and I didn't even mention dispensationalism, but a lot of dispensationalists like Hal Lindsey and others who bear the mantle of dispensationalism in our time, they made the Red Letter Day initially 1948. And then when that didn't work out, then they made the Red Letter Day 1967. There were charts in the back of their Sunday school classes that corroborated all this date setting that was part of the dispensational scheme. But again, I didn't mention dispensationalism. I only mentioned the basic criteria that people who are date setting use, and where they are consistently wrong because they're applying a wrong hermeneutic to interpret Scripture. And so Jack Van Impe has made many prophecies over the years, and you're right, Harold Camping did the same thing. And he finally, to his credit, after upsetting the lives of thousands and thousands of people, but to his credit, he finally said, you know what, I guess I don't know how to interpret the Scripture. I mean, that's essentially what he was saying.
Oh, okay. No, thank you so much for explaining that. That's good, clarifying that. But not, yeah, just make sure not all dispensationalists do that with the date setting with that Israel. Some, I mean, you don't know. Some of them mainly, I think I've seen some say the issue is apostasy of Israel or Jew at some point, kind of like using in Abraham's time when he was told about the Amorite, the Amorite becomes full, and therefore that's when that happens. But again, I think like
Well, and you're making a good point. I want to commend you for the point. It's a point that I wholly agree with. There are dispensationalists who have a view with respect to the timing of the tribulation or the meaning of the millennium that I would disagree with, but they're not date setters. and they are not setting specific dates. They have a paradigm through which they view the scripture. I happen to disagree with it, but this is a paradigm that is perfectly acceptable within the pale of orthodoxy, so we can debate these things as brothers in the Lord and learn from one another. And I think that point that you're making should be underscored and read. It's an important point, and I'm glad you brought it up.
Okay. Thank you, Hank.
You got it, my friend. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. Let's talk to Rick in Davenport, Iowa. Hi, Rick.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Thanks a lot, Hank, for taking my call. I got a question. It's in Isaiah 45. It says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I the Lord, do all these things. Is it correct to say that God created evil?
No, of course not.
How do you take this passage?
Well, it's an antithetical parallelism in terms of its construction. So light is contrasted with darkness, and peace is contrasted with its opposite, which is variously rendered evil or calamity or disaster, which ultimately is judgment in response to sin in the context of Isaiah. But even further, think about this logically. Obviously, God does not create moral evil. Evil is not even a substance. It's a lack of good. It's not something in itself. So to suggest, as some people do, that somehow or other, on the basis of this passage, God is the creator of evil, it's a frightful misinterpretation of the scripture. As you can hear from the music, we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Endless predictions about end time events and published timetables counting down the end have proven to be wrong 100% of the time. When doomsday predictions fail, there is double duty damage. Many theologically juvenile and scripturally superficial Christians abandon the faith as a result of these failed predictions, and the public image of Christianity is damaged, making Christians appear to be hopelessly naive and easily duped biblical bumpkins. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will equip you not only to interpret biblical prophecy correctly, but to remember it as well. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org.